9 in 10 Americans ages 2 years and older eat too much sodium, most of which comes from prepared and processed food, and because of snacking, social eating, and fast-paced routines, most people hit the daily recommended limit before lunch. So how do we start cutting back without missing out on the foods that we actually like? In her new book, Whoa So Good, A Guide to Real Food, Big Flavor, and Less Sodium, food blogger and low-sodium expert Jessica Goldman Fong provides a step-by-step guide for each facet of life, complete with a 7-day taste bud reboot, signature swaps, and over 70 practice recipes, as well as tips for office meals, traveling, dating, entertaining, and practically everything else you can think of, including salt-free bacon. Again, the name of the book is Low So Good, and we welcome Jessica Goldman Fong to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So give us a sense of what brought you to put this project together and ultimately how you became so committed to a low-sodium diet.
Well, I got into the world of food in a rather strange, unexpected way. Actually, when I had turned 21, we realized my body was under a very aggressive attack from the autoimmune disease lupus, which was attacking my kidneys and my brain. And eventually, I survived this initial, very touch-and-go situation. My kidneys did not. And that led me on this journey to figure out how I could be alive and strong and healthy, but still do all the things a 20-something wanted to do, which includes, traveling the world, going to friends' weddings, being spontaneous, and, of course, eating all the delicious food out there. And so that's when I started my blog, sodiumgirl.com, really taking all of the challenges I faced on a low-sodium diet and using creativity to get around them and live this really full life. And so that's really the basis of this book.
So you have adopted a very low-sodium diet. And what exactly does that mean for those of us who eat sodium without thinking of it? And how much did you really have to change all aspects of your life? Because it does make a huge difference, doesn't it?
Right. And I think part of that is, I come across people all the time who say, oh, I'm on a low-sodium diet, too. I just don't use a lot of salt. And those two things are very, very different. Our high sodium problem that all of us have, because we all eat way over the recommended limit, is not from the salt shaker. It's from all the processed food. So the easiest way to lower your sodium is really just to be eating whole, fresh foods, cooking mostly from scratch, paying attention to labels, not, eating as much from packets and cans and microwave packages. And of course, you have to be really conscious when you're eating out as well at restaurants, because a lot of people not only use packaged foods, but a heavy hand of that salt shaker, which again, only contributes about 5% to the sodium we eat every day. So it's really simple when you just get back to basics and, are cooking at home and from scratch. The thing that surprises most people, though, is that sodium is not just in canned soup. It's in everything naturally. So it's in that chicken naturally. Even artichokes are high naturally in sodium. Chard is naturally high in sodium. You can even find sodium in cantaloupe. So doesn't mean don't eat cantaloupe. Just means it's very easy to then see how those numbers start adding up.
So when you look at the book, Whoa, So Good, are you thinking of ways to completely eliminate the sodium, to replace the sodium with something else, or sort of a balance in between?
It's exactly that. It's the balance of the in-between. It's first and foremost educating people where it is, because you have to start by knowing where it is. If you don't know where it is, you can't avoid it. But from there, you also can't just remove it. If you just remove the sodium, it will be boring. It will be bland. It will be all those things that people generally associate with a low-sodium diet. If you replace it, suddenly you've got something else going on. And I always joke that I ate a much more boring array of food before I got sick than after, because when I had to take away the salt shaker and all the processed foods, I suddenly had to think of what to replace it with, and lo and behold, salt is just one way to flavor food. There's literally an entire world of spice out there to use, and not only that, you know, when you're using fresh ingredients, all ingredients themselves contain the five tastes naturally: sweet, sour, bitter, umami, and salty. And then you start playing around with other things like the grill, the oven, a slow cooker, all of that adds flavor too. And suddenly you have layers of nuanced taste that you didn't have before when you were just using salt.
You have in the book, it's very early in the book, a 7-day taste bud reboot. What does that do?
Well, so the idea is that most of us now are just accustomed to things being very salty tasting. And so when you have a tomato soup, you're looking for a salty tomato soup. Your taste buds aren't just looking for that fresh taste of a tomato enhanced by a little bit of salt. So the idea is that you really do have to give your taste buds a little bit of time to readjust what their perception of flavor is. And that can take a couple months, but I'm all about jumping in headfirst as well. So this reboot is kind of a two-pronged approach. One, to really reintroduce your palate to what whole foods taste like. But two, the harder part for most people is this idea of having to cook at home and prep and make a lot of their meals. And granted, there's a lot of tips in this book too about how to eat out and what to buy at a grocery store to make your life convenient, quick, and easy. But this is all about a week of self-prepared, fully fresh meals and kind of getting you into that routine and habit of, you know, taking a few hours on the weekend to prep so you have all the ingredients and maybe some cooked ingredients ready to go for the week so that every meal you're eating, snacks included, nothing comes from a package. It all comes from your two hands. And it's really to give you that opportunity to see how much you can do and how much you can taste so that hopefully when you start incorporating it into your day-to-day, it becomes that much easier.
One of the points that you make, which I think is an interesting one, is just because a package or something may say that it's low sodium, it's probably not, or at least not as much as you want it to be, and then it's still processed.
Right, and you know, so that in the book, it really breaks down what these labels mean. As we all know, marketing can be tricky, so you have to really understand, you know, when it says no sodium versus very low sodium, what are those differences? Sometimes it just means it's a percentage lower than its original amount, and that original amount per serving could be close to your fully day's allotment of sodium. So you have to pay attention. But on the reverse side, what's amazing is sodium has become more of this media darling lately alongside calories and fat. And so we are seeing a lot more products coming out that are truly low sodium and truly without added sodium. And so there's more and more products out there that you can buy that will make your life easier, that are still healthy. And so just as much as you have to turn packages around to make sure you're avoiding high sodium foods, I say turn all those packages around too, because you might discover very low sodium foods too.
When it comes to recipe creation and the many recipes that you include in the book, is it a sense of just figuring out what can give it flavor? And then also, as you say, knowing what is naturally in the food that you're preparing so that you can kind of go from there.
Yeah, so my first book was all about taking the saltiest foods you could think of, like Bloody Marys and buffalo wings, and finding creative swaps in order to make them again, but without, you know, the packaged ingredients or just high sodium ingredients. This book was really more like what you were saying. It's about tapping into what already exists in our food, the flavor, the color, the texture, the unusual combinations, using, you know, the grill and the oven or smoking chips to enhance that flavor and playing around with kind of what exists naturally and trying to do that all still in a really approachable way. So a lot of the recipes can be mixed and matched and, used with other ones so that, you know, if you buy one spice, you're not going to use it once. You're going to learn a lot of different ways to use it. So it's trying to make it all very approachable and easy and something that will become a part of your weekly routine.
The name of the book is Low So Good, A Guide to Real Food and Big Flavor and Less Sodium. It is published by Chronicle Books. Jessica Goldman Fong, I thank you very much for being with us, and I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Low So Good, A Guide to Real Food, Big Flavor, and Less Sodium. It's published by Chronicle Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.